Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God, if you would, and the book of Psalms, the song book of the Bible, chapter 1. By the way, Fred's been here most of the year. Him and Judy have been around a long time. They were here when I came 54 years ago, and Fred's been here since the conception of the church. Fred's 83 years of age. He was born at the church. No, Fred's not 83, but he's getting close. He must have been about 3 years old when the church started, Fred, 1941, the actual, maybe before then. But we're grateful for his faithfulness over the years to the Lord and to the church. Chapter 1, very familiar passage. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in this congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. May God add his blessings to the reading of Psalms number 1. Father, I pray for a fresh oil, pray for fresh endowment of your power upon my life, upon my lips. I'll be able to say that which I need to say, leave unsaid that which I do not need to say. I pray, Father, for your will to be accomplished in all of our lives. We pray for a revival spirit in our church. We pray for God to manifest himself in each of our individual lives. It's easy to get weary in well-doing. If we don't continue, we can fall by the wayside. Father, help us to stay in the battle, realizing the battle is the Lord's, and we need your help. So God, may you enable us, may you fill us, may you use us for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, may our life truly be in your hands. And Lord, we say that and we sing that. May it be reality today that we're truly in the hands of the Lord. And they're the same hands that made the world, the same hands that hold the whole world. Even today in the palm of his hands, he holds us. And Lord, he's mindful of us and he cares about us. And he loves us. But oh, how sometimes we need some instruction and some correction in our life as we go forward. I pray, Father, for the Spirit of God to prevail in these days. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. You could title this message today probably these words that I'm going to give you. They're suitable to sum up Psalms 1. I probably have 20 different sermons on this one psalm. Blessed is the man. Say it with me, please, read. Blessed is the man. And as you read the song book of the Bible, there's 150 songs comprised in the Bible we know of as just song book. Psalms 1 all the way through Psalms 150, 150 psalms. If you go through the Psalms every month, you can read 5 Psalms a day. And every month, you can sing your way through the Psalm. You say, preacher, I can't sing. Just make up your own tune. It's what I do. It's what my wife says I do in all songs. Just sing like you want to. By the way, when you sing on the Lord hears your song. He hears your prayer, and he hears your song. You say, why should we sing? Number one, because he said so. That sums it up. He said so. Number two, he's worthy of all praise. Let us sing a song unto the Lord. He talks about coming into his presence with thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory. And all the things that we oftentimes allude to and associate with just loving God. I love the Lord, we say. I trust it's true. I trust it's true in my life. I trust true in your life. I love the Lord. He picked me up out of the miry clay, planted my feet on a solid rock, and established my goings. And I'm grateful to God today that He put a new song in our heart. And that song is, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We used to have a man attend our church, and I've heard it said before, he's just going to testify on purpose. Well, just make up your mind you're going to testify on purpose. Sometimes just saying, I'm glad I'm redeemed. Stand up, the old timer back in West Virginia, he was an unusual man to say the least, but he shouted differently. Sometimes he just shout and put his hands in his back pockets, and I would demonstrate, but I ain't got enough strength to demonstrate. But he put his hand in his back pocket, and he'd just dance around in a circle. He'd say, I love the Lord, and that's great. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes he'd stand and never say a word. One of his greatest testimonies he ever echoed in my heart as a young man. That's all he did. You can see tears roll down his eyes. It's because of him I'm saved today by God's grace. It's because of him I'm able to raise my puny hand up toward heaven and say, to God be the glory, great things he had done. But when you say a word, down in Kentucky, I was in a revival meeting, and a man, he'd get happy in the Lord, and he sat on the back row. And you knew when he got happy, he got a handkerchief in his hand. He took that handkerchief out, and I think I got one. I do. He'd take that handkerchief out, and he'd come down the aisle. And he'd go, whew. And then when he got through shouting, he'd go, he grabbed it. I missed it. He grabbed his handkerchief, put it back in his pocket. That was his shouting. He didn't say anything. He just shook his handkerchief. And I can't get mine in my back pocket. Everybody rejoices differently. They don't have to shout out loud to be happy. But you ought to have a shout in your soul. Sometimes it's got to come out. Sometimes it just wants to come out. Sometimes you want to sing it. And you sing by expression of your face, comes from your heart. Out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Blesses that man. Blesses that man that's happy. The word blessed means to be happy. I realize that happiness and joy are sort of intertwined together in the Word of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and we fight in the battle because of the grace of God. But in this passage today, he said, blessed or happy is, not was, not going to be. He said, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. People searching for happiness all over the world. They try in various and sundry ways to be happy. I saw a t-shirt not long ago that says, don't worry, be happy. Well, that's easier said than done. You say, preacher, just can I make myself happy? You can't make yourself happy. The only way you can make yourself happy is by yielding to the Lord and because of who you are and what your relationship to God is. We can be happy in sad days. We can be happy when the whole props are knocked out from under us. We can be happy when the sadness fills the room. I was thinking yesterday over at Brother Tommy's, and others have been by the scene visit with him, and Chris was sitting there and sort of trying to straighten his grandpa out, I think, on his deathbed. I think it was the other way around, if I'm mistaken. Grandpa's still talking to Chris. But either way, there's something about being in the presence of somebody dying to realize some things they say, some things he has said, I'm going home. I don't think he's talking about Central Avenue or Chestnut Central. I don't think he's talking about that bed there where he's lying. Said several things over the week. Some folks have been there, heard him say them. I always notice when people sometimes when they're dying, not all but many, they're reaching for something. Mr. Key had a kicking spell, Nancy's daddy, before he died. He just kicked and kicked and kicked and kicked. I think he's trying to kick the devil out of the way. He's going on. But everybody sometimes grabs for something. I think when they're reaching out across the worlds, God takes him by the hand and leads him to the promised land. You talk about a blessing. It's to be able to know you're on God's side. You're on the winning side. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. And even though we worry and fret sometimes, we ought not to do it. All of us are guilty. If you plead guilty, would you raise your hand, please? You worry sometimes. Now, some folks have arrived at the place, they don't worry at all. And that's the way it ought to be. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. How do we find it? Well, there's two roads given to us in this passage. There's a good one and there's a bad one. There's the blessed road, the blessed life, and there's the blighted life. It's called chaff in the past, like chaff. It'll be passed away. I don't want to be just like chaff and one day just pass away. I want to be blessed of God, and I think you do too. And when you take the word bless and you take the spelling of it, B-L-E-S-S, if you'll stop beside the B and put a hyphen and say B hyphen less, B hyphen less. What's it mean to be blessed? To be less of yourself and more of God's blessings. Showers of blessings. Blessed assurance uses mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory to mine. I guess if I've got a favorite hymn, that's it. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. If I got a favorite special, probably Till the Storm Passes By. I'm glad for every song that's ever been wrote in a generation where praise meant something, when it really was sincere from the heart. It wasn't all this contemporary stuff that gets all wrapped up in just sway and say and get together, call them praise teams. I'll tell you who the praise leader of your church is. He doesn't do a very good job right now. That's your pastor. And when we stand together and Brother Paul comes lead singing, we're all getting in this praise of our heart. Ought to be already going on. How many praised the Lord this morning when you got up? How much you want to praise the Lord when you go to bed? How much you want to praise the Lord when you don't ever go to bed? Just praise the Lord all the time, at all time. Seven times a day. Psalmist said, I will praise the Lord. Seven times a day. Put it on your clock. I know preachers who've done that over the years. When the clock dings or goes off, every 3 hours, every so many hours, it's time just to take a break. They may not be able to, maybe driving a car. And they can raise one hand and say, well, praise the Lord, while they drive another. I suggest you don't watch and pray while you drive. Because especially if you're used to bowing your head, I'd pull over to the side and just park for a few minutes. You ever done that? You ever got happy in the Lord just driving and you just felt like you was close to God in the car? Sometimes just pull over to the side of the road. We had a guy one time was with us on a van and we stopped at a red light. He said, well, glory. He jumped out of the van. He ran around the van. Could have got killed. He ran around the van and jumped back in and said, well, glory. Now, we had to sort of, he was younger than us, so we sort of tried to remind him, let us know what you're going to do. So when you run around the van, we don't run over you. You could have been close to your death. But he wanted to let the community know he was not ashamed of Christ. But whether you run around vans, or you pull over the side, or you get on your knees, or you come to church, you find the time to praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man. Be less of yourself and more of God. Be in tune with God. Be walking with God. For Psalms 1 is the introduction to the rest of the Psalms. Somebody called it the vestibule. You enter into the vestibule in Psalms 1 for the 149 that are about to follow. I love to read in the Psalms. There's not a day that passes unless I'm providentially hindered that I don't read for the Psalms. They lift me up when I'm down. They give me a go when my going's not going too good. It gives me strength. Sometimes David will plead, or the writer will plead, such pathos of heaviness of heart. Sometimes he was attacked by the enemy. Sometimes it was King Saul. Sometimes it was the armies of King Saul. Sometimes it was his own family who tried to overrule the throne. And there's all kinds of problems he faced. When the dust was settled, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Some say he wrote that when he was a young man. Some say he wrote it when he was an old man. Well, I believe he probably wrote it both ends of the spectrum. He probably meditated on it when he was young and penned it when he was old. The Lord is. There's that present tense again. Blessed is, not was, not going to be. Right now. And David said, the Lord is my. He's my shepherd. And Lynn can argue with me and say, no, he's my shepherd. And I say, Lynn, no, he's my shepherd. And Lynn says, no, he's my shepherd. Lynn, let's take it outside and talk about it. I hear the Lord is my shepherd. Pray for Lynn. He's going through some procedures also. Pray for his life. But he is Lynn's shepherd. He's my shepherd. I think one of the great joys of being a Christian is to know that the Lord has a personal relationship with the blessed man or blessed woman, whichever the case may be. He blesses us personally. He knows my name personally. He knows my address. He knows every hair of my head that's numbered. He knows everything about me. He knows the good, the bad, the ugly. And he knows the good, bad, and ugly about you. Sometimes we're ashamed of our life and things that we've done and things we think. Sometimes we wish we'd not have said that. There's times we wish we'd said some things more edifying and building up. Sometimes we act like we ought not to act. Sometimes we act like the unsaved, do we not? This little light of mine, I won't let it shine until Jesus comes. The theme of the women's retreat about let your light shine. Let it shine until Jesus comes. And he doesn't say go out and light a candle. He says you are the candle. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and ye are the light of the world. You're to be the salt of the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ has told us in the Bible to be blessed, to be happy. Quit trying to figure out how to make it happen. Just let it happen. Well, how does it happen? Well, walking in the counsel of the ungodly won't do it. But walking in the counsel of the godly will. When you get godly instruction and godly teaching from your home, from your pulpit, from your class, from your daily life, when you work with somebody and you influence them and you're giving instructions about your life, you're letting your light shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let my little light shine. Shine all over Kannapolis. China Grove really needs it. Amen. Landis is worse than China Grove. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Concord is terrible. It needs a lot of light. But wherever you live today, you're supposed to be a light bearer. Blessed is the man as his light shines for Jesus Christ. You say, but I don't have time. You will take time if you're blessed. It'll be on display everywhere you go. Every day of your life, you're on display. My wife and I have this little game we're playing. She's winning right now. We try to, when we're eating a meal, we try to see who can put the track down fastest. And yesterday, I was eating somewhere, and she grabbed one out of my pocket. She didn't have one herself, and stole my track. Now, it's not going to happen again. This is serious business, a track display. Our women are signed up to go soul winning after the retreat. They got challenged to go soul winning. There's a sign-up sheet out in our lobby. They're going to start, in, I think, next week or so. I want to give you some instruction before you go, however. It's so important. You just can't go without instructions. Jesus gave instructions before he sent them into all the world. If you've never been out visiting, there's some things you need to know. And I'm sure they know most of these things, but as a pastor, I want to be sure that you just listen for a while. It's a wicked world. And nowadays, when you go out knocking doors, you're going into the very forces of evil even more. And there's people that don't like you. And there's people that hate Christianity. And if you don't think that's true, you got your head in the sand and you're not thinking. You're going into their zone. You're going in the world zone. See, God didn't call us to change the culture. He didn't call us to try to straighten everybody out. He called us to be lights and to represent him in this world and let Jesus be magnified in our life. Blessed or happy, is the man. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where'd you get your counsel from? All of us need advice. There's nobody in this room who doesn't need advice. I have seven men, two or three of them now have died, but seven men in my life when I was a young preacher. Those seven men were my counselors outside of the church family and our deacons. These were men that I cherished their life. They influenced my life tremendously. So often I call them on the phone long distance or sometimes see them around from about to about. Could I ask you a question? Could you give me some advice about how you do this? I haven't always done things right, but I can't do their advice. If you get seven men, they all give you seven different counsel. You better weigh it out and try to pick from the seven maybe something that's a central thought. It was always a help to me as a young preacher just to ask for advice. You say, well, you're supposed to know it all. Oh, that was true. The older I get, the less I know. But the more I know about Him, the greater I love Him. And the more I love Him, the better I love Him. And the more I love Him, the more I want to obey Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Somebody says, preacher, is that true? The Bible says so. You say, well, the Holy Scriptures become your counselor. If you want counselors, just go to the book. They're there over and over again. And then 66 books of the Bible, many of them are nothing more, nothing less than just commands and advice or principles to live by. Somebody asked me one time, what laws do I live by? Do you have a list of things you don't do and you do? I live by what I call principles. They're like railroad tracks in my life. Let everything be done for the glory of God. Will God be glorified through what I'm getting ready to do? Not about me. It's not about what I want. Will God be glorified? Avoid the very appearance of evil. It doesn't say what evil to avoid. It says the very appearance. It doesn't say avoid evil. It says avoid the very appearance of evil. If something looks bad and smells bad and you don't need to be around it, you better ease away from it. God's speaking to you if you're a Christian. And those principles come to bear when I go through a new conference class. We usually go through seven principles that we live by. Seven principles in the Bible. There are more than that, but at least seven of things to do all to the glory of God. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. And all the principles of the Bible, not laws, just principles that cover everything. Avoid the very appearance of evil. What's that mean? I'm not a fan of snakes. The last one I shot was a big black snake, and I know I should have done it after everybody told me I should have saved the black snake because it helps you keep things ordered around the farm. But anyhow, I shot it. And I've come to the conclusion the only good snake in my book is a dead snake. Somebody told me that a snake can crawl on its belly and never close its eyes. Well, I never got down there close enough to look, so if that's true, tell me. I'm not going to check it out. But if it's a snake and I need to avoid it, especially if I know I need to avoid it, I need to avoid it. Because a snake can strike at a moment's notice. I'm talking about a poison snake now, or one that may be dangerous. So if I don't know, I better avoid the very appearance of evil, because it could be evil. You decide what's your list of things is fine, but you'll have a book so big you can't carry it of all the things you ought not to do. But this principle area of your life, blessed or happy is the man walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. Whether you have seven people on your list or one, or whether you have the entirety of the Word of God, Dr. Lee Robinson said his best counseling is done in the pulpit of the average Baptist church. If folks will listen and apply what they hear, it can be transforming. Sometimes there's things that are said, and I'm grateful I've been able to sit and listen to preachers who have revolutionized my life. I'm 78 years old. In those early days, I went to conference after conference across the country. I've sat in some of the greatest meetings of my time, of my life. I've been in meetings where men were on their face crawling, trying to get down to the altar. They couldn't get there fast enough. They were broken. I was at a meeting one time where over 56 young men came to the altar and answered a call to the ministry. Those days are rare across the country, but they were norm in those days. There was a revival spirit permeating the lives of folks, and their whole theme was, I surrender all. I give everything I have to the Lord. Everything that I own, everything that I possess, everything that I have belongs to Him. And sometimes I make mistakes, and you do too, because of our carnality and our flesh. May God help us to seek wisdom from the Word of God. Advisors are fine. The Word of God's even better. Go straight to the book. And the same God that speaks to you speaks to me. Sometimes the difference is some are listening and some are not listening. Are we listening to the voice of God? Blessed is the man. And no, blessed is the woman. Blessed the young person that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Somebody's having a problem in their life. You don't need to get advice from somebody who's got the same problem you got. Somebody going through a bad marriage, things are not going well. And you find somebody that's going through a bad marriage and you talk to them, that's not a good advice. Go to somebody that's got a good marriage. Go to somebody that seems to have God's direction on their life. Doesn't mean they have all the answers, but you sure can find counsel in a godly person. It's found there. May God help us to be godly in our life. I was thinking about the subject of abortion, and as a matter of fact, how sad it is. Many folks want to make a decision about this statement, and the statement's not true. If you've had an abortion, may God bless you, may God help you. I have letters in my file of women who had abortions, so I know whereof I speak, at least from this clientele that I've got. You're trying to wrestle about abortion. And I hear the theme echoed by politicians. And I'm not here to straighten out politicians or let God take care of that. But I do want to preach the gospel. It's my body, and I can do with it what I want to. And I say it's not your body, and you can't do what you want to with it. For the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And you have no right to make decisions apart from prayer and dedication and meditation with the Lord. It's so important to seek God's will and seek God's face. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ungodly those who don't do righteous, those who walk apart from God's wisdom. A counselor should be scripturally principled. It ought to be that they know the Word of God. Don't usually go to the backslider for advice. That's not the best place. They may tell you what they did was wrong, and they can share with you what they're in and what their situation is. But if they don't have victory, you can't go to them and get advice. Worldly wisdom and heavenly wisdom are something given to us by God. Here's what the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13, verse 17. Who is a wise man? And who is endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or manner of life his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Blessed is the man, I'll add. Then peaceable, blessed is the man. Gentle, blessed is the man. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, and without partiality, without hypocrisy. I have to digest that quite a bit. Who is the wise man? And the Bible says the wise man is the one who wins souls for Christ. He's a soul winner. He that wins souls is wise. Blessed is the man, gets his counsel from the godly, not the ungodly. But a godly man is going to be a man who loves God. And if he loves God, he loves what God loves, and that's the souls of men. He's going to find himself trying to talk to folks about the Lord on purpose, not because he just accidentally got to talk to somebody. You can do it that way. But on purpose, you're looking for somebody to share the gospel with. And I'm grateful for those in our church that do that. I'm glad for the tracts that we send out by an envoy with people's hands. If nothing more, nothing less, passing out tracts is a tremendous tool in the hands of a soul winner. May God help us today to be involved in being that blessed man. Should have scripture principles to live by. I don't have laws. I said I have principles to live by. Haven't always fulfilled those principles. But if I'm finding myself tempted in an area, I've got to go back to those principles. Not to offend somebody, not to be on the wrong page where I create more problems than it should be creating. May God help us. Bible is a practical book. It's a book of prophecy. It's a book of great truths. It tells us where we come from, who we are, where we're going. But it's practical. There's a practical application made just about everywhere there in was teaching this morning in Sunday school about signs and wonders. It's a wonder he ever got saved. I mean, not saved. It's a wonder he ever got married. That's a sign and wonder somewhere in there. We'll see, at Children's Church. Y'all don't know about Amy and Darren getting married. If you hadn't heard it, I'm going to tell it right quick, because it's a good story. I counseled Darren and Abby, Andy, not Abby, Dan, and Amy. Was having rehearsal, and I said, have you got the license? And Darren went, I forgot to get the license. They were closed on Saturday. This was Friday night, closed. I don't know what Amy did. I think she went into cardiac arrest. I guess I could marry them without license, but I had to send them back to their own home. She go to her home, he go to his home. Just so we went and got on the phone and tried to call the registry of deeds. This is true. It's true. Mrs. Earnhardt, I think it was her name, Barnhardt Earnhardt, picked up the phone. She said, hello. And I said, hello. I told her our problem. She says, you were mighty fortunate. I was walking out the door to leave town. She says, I'll get right on it. So the next morning, I'm not sure who went up there, Amy, whether it was you or Darren, or maybe you took a pistol to his back and you took him up there. But Darren was able to get into the court building on a Saturday to be able to have somebody meet him there and to get this thing finalized. So when I was performing the ceremony, I said, by the power of God and the laws of North Carolina, and having this wedding certificate, wedding license in my hand, I pronounced their man and wife. What a joy it was. But it was a funny thing happened. It was a serious thing. We weren't sure what we were going to do. A lot of decisions had to be made. But those are times in your life when you've got to make decisions, and the Bible is very practical. You do the very best you can. And I'll share this, and I'm through. I called Willie, or Buzz Willie, last night and said, Willie, I can't make prayer meeting. We usually pray together to pray at 7 o'clock if everything's going normal. And I was involved in something else. But I gave him a prayer request. And I said, I have misplaced something really valuable. And I appreciate you praying. I went for 2 hours at the house through every bookshelf I have, through every desk drawer I have. I couldn't find it. It was something valuable. So I told Willie, I said, Willie, if you pray for that request, I'd appreciate it. He came in this morning and said, well, did your prayer get answered? And I said, I'm still looking. After Willie left, I put my hand right on Willie. It was on my desk. I need some stuff. Two of them, valuable to me, important to me. My wife helped me search last night for hours trying to find those two valuable assets. We're not talking about monetary-wise. They were just valuable to me. She said, so I called Nancy after I found them. I said, honey, I found them. She said, where did you find them at? I was so humiliated. I said, found them right on my desk. And she says, well, that's good. Praise the Lord. She asked me the other night, she said, have you prayed about it? I said, I have. I asked somebody else to pray about it. I'm glad he prayed. He said he did when he came in. Told me he'd been praying about it this morning. And I picked him, just like my hand went right over here on the right-hand side of my desk. Piles of things in the little apparatus that holds paper. I looked, and underneath I saw something didn't look right. I picked it up, and there was one. I picked the rest of the stuff up, and there's number two. You know what I did? I bowed my unworthy head. I said, Lord, I know it may be little to some people, but thank you for answering a prayer for me. I appreciate it. Now, I'm not going to tell you what those two valuable things were. No, but you don't need to know. I think it was $1 million apiece in an envelope. Whole likely story. But blessed is the man. I'm through the sermon. I just want to leave it with you. I want you to go home and eat it and digest it. Walk in the Countdown Gully. Godly scriptures. Be practical about it. Be sure that you have a desire to please God in your life. You don't always have the best advice. You give the advice you've learned from the Word of God. There's just some things that you learn by experience. And the Lord lets you go through it to teach you some things to help somebody else along a life journey. When we lost a little girl years ago, Melinda was her name, of all the darkest days in my life and my wife's life was that event. I was trying to adopt a little girl and we kept her for so long, 6 months. And the biological daddy came back into the picture. He wanted his daughter back, and primarily he wanted her back for a check. He had every right to have his daughter legally. I had every right to have his daughter emotionally. The nursery was fixed up. The room was painted. The decorations were there. My wife had said previously to this, what a joy it was for God to answer the prayer to have little Melinda in our home. And we did. We enjoyed her. She started calling me Daddy, called Nancy Mama. I pick her up and walk across the parking lot to the church. I got a video of her somewhere standing on the stage as little girls when they had little dresses on. And we were singing a song. She got a hold of her dress like this. And she was, I was sitting on the front row. She was singing with a group. And she was singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And only as a girl, only little girls can do this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little boys try that, but they're not cute. I thought you were going to fall off a stage. It was a joy. The saddest day in our life is when we had to go to court in Tennessee. Fred, I'm indebted to you, Daddy, for a lot of things during those days. Court cost, etc. Fred's daddy came to the platform and said, our pastor and his wife are going through a tough time. If it's an expense, we'll go pay it. We'll take care of it. That was encouraging to us. I went to court. My wife stayed home. The lawyer came out and said, Mr. Pauly, are you Mr. Pauly? He said, you can't be in the courthouse. This is a private matter between a man and his wife. I said, well, I feel like I've been the daddy for 6 months. He said, it doesn't matter. You stay out in the hall. So I stayed out in the hall, and the minutes flew by. It wasn't long until the attorney came back out. Said, Mr. Pauly, you've got this particular man, I can't think of his name now, daughter. You must have her back tomorrow in Tennessee. And I said, that ain't going to happen. You don't understand, sir. Maybe. I know legally you may, but you don't understand. Long story short, eventually I had to go back to North Carolina, come back home. And I called Nancy Ford, left the courthouse, and she said, how did it go? And I said, I'll tell you about it. I want to get home. She said, it wasn't good, was it? And I said, no, it wasn't. I never remember the trip from East Tennessee home. The tears flowed down my eyes. Several days later, we took the little girl back to Tennessee legally. My wife, is she in here? I don't think so. My wife in bed that night turned her face toward the wall. Well, I tried to pull her around and talk to her. She said, I don't understand God. I just don't understand God. But the fact is, it was God working in my life, working in her life for a greater cause, for us to have more compassion, for us to stay in the ministry of working with kids as much as possible back in those days. And I'm grateful to God for his blessing. And I close the story. I was scheduled to speak in West Virginia. There was 200 or 300 women at a convention, and they asked me to come and speak, and I did. And as I went and spoke, I told the story. After that story, the invitation, it was amazing how many women came to us and said we went through a similar situation. We had a child that died, et cetera, et cetera. All kinds of circumstances. Weeping endureth for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Shall we stand together? Thank you for your patience today. Thank you for your kindness. There may be a need in your life of salvation, rededication. May be a need in your life just to come and surrender it all to the Lord today. This day, blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His law doth he meditate day and night. Father, forgive me for rambling today if I did that. But take this blessed word of God and speak to hearts. And may your name be exalted and glorified. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the scripture. Seal every decision. In Jesus' name. Amen.